It's good to be here. I'm going to try, as y'all already know, of course, I met Reggie for the first time this evening, but the rest of you know I have a tendency to be a little loud, and I'm going to try to tone it down a little bit. Of course, I've told you that before, too. My preaching may not excite anybody else, but it excites me. I get excited about the Word of God. And when I preach, I get excited. I just can't help it. I told my son's a pastor, and I told him, I said, son, if your preaching doesn't excite you, it's probably not going to excite anybody else. You know? And I do. I get excited. When I preach, I get excited. I take that Old Testament exhortation to cry aloud and spare not, you know, and I go at it. I just do. And so I'm going to try to bear in mind the acoustics in here. And I'm going to try not to rupture your eardrums. I'll do my best, and I really will. That's it. Mark chapter number 4. Mark chapter number 4. Now, the pastor has not heard this message, but he heard about it and asked me if I could get liberty to preach it if I would tonight. And so I'm going to preach this beginning in chapter number 35 of Mark chapter number 34. Chapter number 4, verse number 35. What did I say?
You said chapter 35.
Well, you'd have a hard time finding chapter 35 in Mark. Well, let's just go to chapter 4 and start in verse 35. How about that? All right. And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? And they came over unto the other side of the sea, unto the country of the Gadarenes, and when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Our Father, I pray now that you would bless the reading of your word, and I pray that you might get glory unto yourself in everything that is said and done here tonight. Thou art God, and there is none like unto thee. There is none beside thee. You rule over the affairs of your people, and I pray that you would, even in our midst tonight, get glory. Do that we're in need of, that your people are in need of. I pray tonight that you would give the words that need to be said, and I pray that you would give the understanding. I pray that we would hear from heaven tonight. And we'll praise you for what you do in Christ's name. Amen. I want to look at verse number 36 at the latter part of the verse where it says, And there were also with him other little ships. I want to talk to you on this subject tonight. Where have the little ships gone? Where have the little ships gone. Seems like that everywhere that Jesus went, there were tag-alongs. Everywhere that he went, there were those that were following along with him. Whether he was walking along a Judean hillside or whether he was out on the open water, it seems like that there were always those that were wanting to follow along with him. As time went along, though, all of those that were with him left him. You'll find that when matters got to, when things got rough, even his disciples left him and walked no more with him. There was that crowd that wanted him to commit himself to them, and he wouldn't do it. And the time came that they all left him, the Bible said. And they're going to do that here as well. The little ships, they're sailing along with him. You'll find it throughout history that there were those that it seemed like that they wanted to go along with God, but as things got a little rough, they found out they couldn't hack it. Think about old Moses back there. You'll find Moses, he came out to see how his brethren were doing it, and saw an Egyptian and a Hebrew striving, and he killed the Egyptian and buried him in the sand. Well, he thought he'd go with God that day, but God said it's not time. He said, you can't go with me now. And so he wound up out in the wilderness for 40 years, didn't he? He said, God said, you can't go with me right now. Moses said, oh yeah, I'm going with you right now. I said, no, not now. And he wound up out in the wilderness for 40 years. I think about Cain. Cain said, God, I'm going to go with you, but I'm going to go with you my way. And so he brought an offering to God. God said, you can't do it that way. You're not going to go with me that way. He said, I'll go with that way or I won't go at all. So he just didn't go at all. A lot of folk are hanging around trying to go with God. They want to go God their way or they want to go with God in their time. You just can't do that. And there are a couple of examples in the Old Testament. It just doesn't work that way. I've seen in my lifetime over and over again people come into the church. I've seen them come in, they've joined the church, they get baptized in the church, they'll come along a little while, you let something happen, they're gone. Oh yeah, they want to come along for a little while, but then they're gone. I think about Peter. You know, the Lord was getting ready to go to the cross, and he explained to them what was going on, and Peter said, we're going with you. Well, they all did. All the disciples said, we're going with you. And the Lord said, no, you can't go where I'm going. You can't. Read over in John chapter 13. You can't go where I'm going. And the other disciples kind of held their peace, but Peter said, I'll go with you even to the death. You know, and Jesus said, you can't do it. You're not going with me, not now. He said, you can't go with me now. He said, but you will follow after. You'll follow after. You will later on, but you can't go now. And Peter just argued. And Jesus told him, he said, Peter, before the cock crows, he said, you'll deny me thrice. Oh yeah, you say you are. You say you're going with me, but you're not going to do it. As soon as things get bad, as soon as the fire gets hot, you're going to deny me. Isn't that what he told him? No. We've got some little ships that are going to sail along beside the Lord for a while, but they're not going to go with him all the way. They're not going with him all the way. Where have the little ships gone? What happened to the little ships? What's going on here? Well, there's a problem. There's a problem here. We're told him here in verse number 35, the Bible says, let us pass over. And then we're told in verse 36, there were with him other little ships. But when the storm began, there is no mention of these little ships. The waves beat into the ship. There's record only of one ship arriving in the country of the Gadarenes. In chapter number 5 and verse number 2, and when he was come out of the ship, only one ship made it across. That's all. Well, where have the little ships gone? What happened to them? Well, most people, if you talk to them, they would say, well, I suppose they all sank in the storm. No, I don't think so. I believe that if something like that had happened, probably a record would have been made of it. No, something else happened. He passed over. And then, when it got time to go back, he passed over again by ship. And no mention is given there of them getting into little ships and going back with him. Luke's gospel doesn't mention the little ships at all. Where have the little ships gone? Well, I believe there are indications from the parable that is given at the first of this chapter. Now, if you'll read this chapter, you'll find that this day that this occurred, that he taught the people by many parables. Now, the very first parable that he begins with on this day, and which consumes most of this chapter, is the parable of, a good portion of this chapter, is the parable of the sower and the seed. Now, in this parable, we find that the Lord speaks of a sower going out into the field to sow seed. Now, the sower, of course, there's nothing wrong with the sower, who here is the Lord himself. And there's nothing wrong with the seed. The seed's the Word of God. Nothing wrong with the Word of God. Nothing wrong with the gospel. Nothing wrong with that. But there's a problem with the ground. Now, he tells us here, and I'm not going to read all of this. You're probably as familiar with this as I am. But he talks about the seed that falls and by the wayside. Now, the seed that falls by the wayside, immediately the birds come, the fowls come, and they eat it up. Now, fowls here are, of course, a type of the devil. And Jesus, when he explains the parable later to the disciples, he tells them very clearly that it's the devil that comes and plucks the Word of God out of their hearts. And this seed never has an opportunity to take root. I tell you what, I have preached the Word of God before, and somebody will come to the back door and they'll say, "Preacher, that was a wonderful sermon that you preached. That was just wonderful." Don't you dare ever ask them what you preached. Don't ever dare ask them, because many, many, many times the devil has already come and plucked it out. I mean, even if they're saved folk. Many times that seed has fallen by the wayside. It has. Hey, and even we as preachers, now we're not immune to that. We who are good Christian people that love God, sometimes we're our minds are anywhere but at the house of God. And when the Word of God is preached, why, we don't hear it. Sometimes we sit and read our Bibles and our mind is so far away, we get through reading the chapter and we don't remember whether that's the chapter we read or we were reading the chapter before or we'd read the one after. And we don't know. And we go back and read a few verses and say, "Well, I'll read a few verses and then I'll know." But we still don't. Am I telling the truth? Somebody hit me a little bit. Nod your head. Stick your tongue out of it. I said that one time. Everybody stuck your tongue out of it. So I'll tell you something, you know. Talk to me. Let me know something. Hey, what I'm trying to say to you is this. Sometimes that seed falls on ground that hasn't been broken up. On the wayside. Now, the lost man, every time, that seed is just not going to get in the ground. Now, sometimes it's different reasons. But if it falls to the wayside, for sure it's not going to get in the ground. Okay? Now, he says sometimes the seed falls on stony ground or rocky ground. Now, I know this. If the ground is rocky and the ground is not broken up deep enough, and there's a big old rock right under the surface to where the ground may look good. It may look good. It may look as good as all the other ground. But if there's a big old rock there and it's not deep enough, the good ground is not deep enough that it can get any root. Oh, it'll spring up. I say, well, that pea vine, when it comes up, it may look just as good as all the other pea vines you planted. It may. It'll spring up, and then for a couple of weeks, it'll look great. And then for some reason, it'll start turning yellow. Or it'll start wilting down. Or it'll get spindly looking. And then it'll start to die. And you go out there and dig around it a little bit, and you'll find there's a big old rock under it. Now, these are those, he says, that they receive the word with joy, and it sprang up. But anon, he said, it withers and dies. Why? Because it has no root. Yeah. Now, and this is a neat little saying that I heard sometimes. It says, no root, no fruit. And Jesus said if they don't have any fruit, he said, you're not his. He said, you will bear fruit if you're a Christian. Everybody say bears fruit. That's just the way it is. Now, and he said, he came and saw a fig tree one day. It didn't have any fruit on it. He says, why comfort that the ground cut it down? He hadn't got the time for that kind of thing. He explained this to the disciples later on. And so that's some. And then he said, there's some that springs up, it grows up, everything looks good. But then the thorns and the weeds, the thorns and the thistles, they grow up and they choke it. I think about Demas. I think about Demas, how that we're told in there says that Demas hath left they having loved this present world. What happened? This present world just choked whatever semblance of life he had in him, choked it out of him. Now, you'll notice I said whatever semblance of life he had in him. That doesn't mean he had life in him. You see, my daddy had a semblance of life in him. My daddy made a profession of faith. My daddy quit drinking. My daddy quit playing poker. My daddy quit running around with women. My daddy got in church. My daddy got baptized. My daddy became a trustee at the church. My daddy quit fishing on Sunday. He did. He went to church for years. Until they had a split in the church, and then my daddy went back to his old life. My daddy wasn't saved until not too long before he died. Thank God he did get in. I'm glad he did get saved. But he lived a long time like that, and then the cares of this life, they sprang up and they choked him out. And they will. They'll do it if the ground's not good. But then thank God for good ground. Thank God for good ground that the seed gets in and it grows and it produces fruit. Jesus said some 60, some 60 to 40 fold, some 60 fold, some 100 fold, but it produces fruit. And he had to explain all this to the disciples. They didn't understand what he was talking about. And they got off to the side, and Jesus said, why in the world don't you understand this? You're supposed to understand this. And then he explained it to them. And he said, now, the reason they don't understand this, the reason I'm talking to them in parables, is so they see will not see, and hearing will not understand. Lest they should believe and be converted. So I don't understand this. I don't understand this. Now, I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Now, there is an indication in the parable. This is the first parable of the day. The parable of the sower and the seed. Verse 16 tells us of those who have heard and gladly received the word. Perhaps some of these thought to go with him to the other side, but then the storm clouds gathered. They had gladly received the word. Now those wayside hearers, no. No, when the disciples sent the multitude away, they just left. Yeah, I don't think there was any problem with them. And probably the stony ground hearers, they probably just left, you know. When they sent the multitudes away, they probably just left. But those that had gladly received the word, and the cares of life had not yet choked them out. They, perhaps some of them, thought to go with him. And so they got in their little boats. Do you think maybe? Probably did. I would think maybe they did. Because they probably were considered, in our day, they would be considered good church members. You see what I'm saying? There's indication from that maybe in the parable. But then there are inferences from the text. Let us see the inclusiveness of the called. The inclusiveness of the called. Jesus said, let us pass over unto the other side. There's an inclusiveness there. He's only speaking to a select group of people. We would call them the elect. Now, if we're talking about saved and lost folk, we would call them the elect. And in this particular instance, he's talking to the disciples. All right? In this particular instance. Now, this is not all of eternity, and this is not all of the saved, but in this particular instance, on this particular day, going to the other side to Gadara. But it is representative. He said, let us go over. Now, nobody can get in that boat except those that he said, let us go over. That's all. Nobody else can get in that boat. Everyone else has been sent away. Doesn't matter whether they liked it or not, or or anything else. So there is an inclusiveness in the text. When he said, let us go over to the other side, there is also an exclusiveness. For we read after that, then he said, and when they had sent away the multitude. So there's an exclusiveness. They took him even as he was in the ship. So there's an inclusiveness, and then there is an exclusiveness. You find that back in chapter 4 and verses number 11 and 12. And I've already mentioned that, but let's read it. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. You say, preacher, I don't understand that. Well, I'm not sure I do either. But if you take this out of the Bible, you're going to have to tear the whole thing up. The fact, plainly and simply, is that in just a little bit, they're going to the other, he's going to the other side, and they're not invited to go. Do you mean to tell me that he was condemning them to stay? They were all condemned to stay already. He just invited some to go with him. And that's what we can't get, well, that's what we have trouble understanding. Well, anyhow. And then notice there is an inability to survive. The little ships could not make the trip. They couldn't make the trip. Now, here we have a ship that Jesus is in. Now, I don't know how big that ship was. Probably by the standards of our ocean liners and all that, it was a little bitty thing. I mean, anyway, it wasn't. I'm not. It's a ship, but I'm not talking about probably a three-masted schooner or anything like that. It was a ship, probably a fishing boat. But they were in little ships. And I'm talking about maybe a yacht and rowboats, you see. They were in, he was in a ship with his disciples, and they were in canoes. I'm talking about a comparison size. He was in a ship that could weather the storm, but they weren't. And may I say this? He was in a ship that could weather the storm only because he was in the ship. Had he not been in the ship, even the ship he was in could not have weathered the storm. For they cried out unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? So the little boats didn't stand a chance. If the boat, sir, they weren't invited. The boat that they were in wouldn't have stood a chance had he not been on board. So, they turned back. That's what they always do. That's what they always do. That crowd that no longer walks with us, they turn back. Does not the Word of God say that they've gone out from us because they were not of us? Does it not say that if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us? But they went out from us that it might be made manifest that they were not of us. The storms come up and they flee. And rightly so. They should. And we want to get ill with them. Heaven help us. Now, I don't think we ought to ever say they look better going than coming. Now, I used to do that. I raised my hand and say, I'm guilty. I used to say, don't let the door hit you in the back. I used to say foolish things like that. Because they cause all manner of trouble when they're trying to be in the church. And they don't need to be in the church. I mean, as far as trying to be a part of the church. We need to be trying to reach people with the gospel, yes. But while they're in the church, they can't help with the church. And we ought to be grieved that they're not. But at the same time, when the storms and the troubles come and they leave, we may be grieved for their souls, but we must understand that they who are in the little ships cannot survive the journey. We must understand that. We must understand it. They cannot survive. But maybe all is not lost. Now, let me say this. Life is not yet ended. And there is yet fallow ground that may be broken up. There's still farming to be done. There's still harvest to be gathered. I mean, his work's not yet ended. I look in Luke chapter number 80, and after Jesus left Gadara, and he got in that ship, and he went back to the other side. And it said, when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. So they all heard him preach again. Time and time again. Were there some of those like Moses whose time had just not yet come? whether some of those who, like Peter, would follow later. Maybe. They couldn't believe then, but maybe they would believe at another time. I didn't believe the first time I heard. I couldn't believe the first time I heard. But I did believe. My dad didn't believe the first time he heard. He thought he did. But it all was choked out. But oh, he said, David, how do you go about being saved? I think I know, but I'm not sure. And I began to talk with him from the scriptures. And he raised his little hands toward the ceiling, cried out and begged God to forgive him and save him. And he got on the big boat. Oh yeah, my brother asked him, said, Daddy, said, are you sure you're saved? Oh yeah, I'm going to heaven. He said, I'm saved. So I'm not worried about that. So I know I'm going to heaven. I'm sure about that. I'm saved. He said, just this dying business. I never have done it before. Well, glory to God. And when he got ready to leave this world, he looked around at all his kids and smiled and left out. That's what I'm talking about. Maybe all wasn't lost for all of them. So keep on praying. Keep on preaching. Keep on digging. Keep on watering. Keep on planting. If the devil comes and takes the seed out, throw some more seed out there. You don't know. You don't know. I don't know. That's not our business. Our business is to keep putting the seed out there and keep watering it and praying for harvest. Don't worry about the little boats. Don't get distracted by them. They'll turn back. They're going to turn back. But every once in a while, he'll look to somebody and say, let's go to the other side. Well, glory to God. I'm glad I'm on the boat.